Welcome to Season 4, Episode 19 of the FASD Family Life Podcast. This is the only show about FASD hosted by an FASD specialist and parent with 30 years lived experience. I'm Robbie Seal, your host and mom to five incredible people, including three teens diagnosed with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. As an FASD specialist, it is my passion to help families thrive. To learn about me and my work, check out my brand new website, fasdfamilylife.ca. I started this podcast to be the friend I wished I had when my kids were young and to bring hope to weary parents. I wanted to share what I've learned working in residential treatment and raising my own children impacted by trauma and prenatal alcohol exposure. I pour my heart and soul into the production of the FASD Family Life Podcast. And all that hard work is paying off. Since 2021, the podcast has grown to over 46,000 downloads worldwide. And my FASD world tour continues. This week, I'm back in Canada, where I'm speaking with Melissa Arsenault, licensed psychologist, and Monet Saulnier, wellness mentor. Melissa is the owner and lead psychologist at Balance Psychology Clinic in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Since opening the clinic in 2015, it has evolved into a multidisciplinary practice offering comprehensive mental health services, including FASD assessments and support for people living in New Brunswick. Also a certified yoga teacher, Melissa focuses on the mind-body approach in her Acting Mindfully group therapy. She believes in providing accessible best practice therapy that creates human connection through cohesion, even in a virtual environment. Melissa named her clinic Balance as a daily reminder to intentionally hold herself accountable to her own journey. Taking a pulse on her family, friends, work, life, and being truly present and committed for each. Throughout her career, Monette has worked with youth in many capacities. As a wellness mentor in the public school system, Monette is currently providing learning opportunities in a safe environment. In recent years, she has applied her extensive experience working with youth to be able to work with parents, caregivers, and other adults through acting mindfully, training, and yoga. Somatic approaches have played a key part in creating balance in Monette's life, especially after experiencing injuries in her spinal column. Monette aspires to keep learning and share self-care strategies with others. Throughout the year, Melissa and Monette offer acceptance commitment therapy. They call acting mindfully. They offer it in different formats to meet various needs and schedules. And I was so excited to learn about their acting mindfully sessions that are starting this Saturday that I dropped this episode early to let you know about it too. This 3-week online version of Acting Mindfully starts February 18th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it is available to you no matter where in the world you are. To register, you can email admin@balanceclinic.ca. It's also listed in the show notes for you. Melissa and Monette have been doing Act Mindfully group therapy as an 8-week online series, and they plan to offer that version again in the spring and again in the summer. They have cycles of start dates and are open to exploring different times, such as weekends, evenings, and lunch times, based on participants' schedules and time zones. To learn more, go to their webpage, and I have that listed in the show notes. All right, welcome back to another episode of the FASD Family Life Podcast. In this series, I am on a world tour, an FASD world tour, and I'm going all around the world talking to people who are working with caregivers, families, and individuals who have FASD. This week, I'm in Canada, specifically Atlantic Canada. I'm in New Brunswick, speaking with a couple of therapists who have brought together some virtual therapy sessions specifically for caregivers and parents raising children with FASD. And I'm really excited to learn more about this particular therapy and the program that these ladies are offering. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you now, and you can introduce yourselves.
So hi, Robin. I'm Melissa. So I reside in the unceded territory of Indigenous people of the land known as Fredericton, New Brunswick. And we are a balanced psychology clinic. So I'm a licensed psychologist. And I am a mom to a 17-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old stepdaughter, and a 23-year-old stepdaughter. So different lenses to my lived experience with FASD for sure. In our clinic, we strive to provide a lot of like support to caregiver and families. And I guess it just made sense for us to offer more online ACT therapy to people, because every parent, caregiver is going through, you know, complex diagnoses or just being home with their families, and trying to access and like drive to a clinic is kind of hard. And I know in the pandemic, like we really got into the online stuff, but I think that now we're like going with, instead of doing, oh, come back to the clinic. It's like, okay, if it's working for you, you know, we're going to work with that. So we did create a program where we expanded on our ACT therapy that we were doing in person. Me and Manette, who you're going to get to meet. And we created a program for adults to access that's best practice for stress, anxiety, trauma, self-care. And yeah, so we're doing that online. It's really exciting.
I really agree with you that having online therapy increases accessibility for people. It increases accessibility for so many reasons. First of all, if I wanted to access your therapy, I don't have to schedule a babysitter. I don't have to schedule a respite worker. I can get the kids fed and then I can jump onto my computer and be available. And meanwhile, I'm also available to my kids as well. I think that's brilliant. It shows how you understand the complexities of the caregiver life.
My next mom of like two like really young children, so I think she can speak to that.
Okay, Manette, go ahead.
Children, yes. So
my younger. All the resources and accessibility. So hi, Ravi. My name is Manette Saunier, and I am also I reside in the unceded territory of the Indigenous people, and we also know it as Fredericton, New Brunswick. I am a mom of two energetic young children. I work as a wellness mentor in the public school system here in Fredericton. I've been doing intervention previous to this role for 15 or more years, and promoting well-being generally is something that I'm very passionate about. In my background, I'm also a registered massage therapist and a yoga teacher. I had the opportunity to take the FASD course at a level 3 with the clinic, and it's given me an extra lens in the school. So I guess it's really important to consider all the different possibilities to support our youth. So with that extra lens now, when we want to support and educate either the children or the families, I guess I have a different input that we can consider as a team.
That's exactly what's going to make the therapy that you're offering even more effective for parents and caregivers who are raising children and youth with FASD. Because unless you have that FASD training, you really can't understand some of the trials and struggles that the parents are having and that chronic stress. Typical therapy, you might suggest to the parent that they put down boundaries and that they enforce boundaries and they enforce, you know, typical learning strategies with their children, consequences, you know, logical and natural consequences. Yes. And yeah, look at you ladies nodding your head. And we're like,
not working. We needed to find something else. Come on.
Yes. And that's where if you understand, and I know balanced psychology in New Brunswick does understand FASD. So because you do, now it's a safe place for us caregivers to come. And that's so important to know, because it is very difficult for people who have FASD and or their families to access mental health supports that actually understands this diagnosis. That's one of the reasons I was so excited to speak to you. But also, I had heard of ACT before, the acceptance commitment therapy. I'd heard about it in 2022 and I wanted to take the training. But again, it wasn't available to me at that time.
Awesome.
but I wanted to take the training because I thought, my gosh, I need that. I need that just in my own life. And then as I pour into the lives of others through the podcast and through coaching and through whatever, wherever God takes me, I would have that as a tool in my toolkit. So here we go, ladies. Let's talk a little bit about Balanced Psychology Clinic, because I think you're very special in Fredericton. Let's talk about that. And then let's slide over and talk about what exactly is acceptance commitment therapy.
Awesome. Thank you, Robbie. So the Balanced Psychology Clinic, so we opened in 2015, where right away I came from a school psychology background and I wanted to be able to advocate for the children. But I always found that there was a lot of pieces missing. So my journey brought me to private practice in terms of trying to make sure we had like multidiscipline teams, like make sure I could consult with different professionals and make sure I could like actually not have any dual relationship and kind of go into schools and advocate and like be the family and the child's person. And that was one of my passion. And like, I adore all my colleagues in schools. Yeah, that's how we met. We worked in a school first and it was amazing. And then there's so much like collaboration now, like we're like years past that. And I really, truly value all of the collaborations. And so from there, we started working with UNB, University of New Brunswick, and trying to like really make sure that the PG students came out and knew that there was a lot of systemic difficulties with getting the children access to proper comprehensive assessments. So we started there, and Sebastian, who works with us as the director of our FAZ clinic, we just decided that we were going to continue our journey in going to schools and meeting with the parents and the families and all of the teachers. And we were welcome, really kept going and going. And we're like, okay, well then we're on to something. Let's keep doing this and let's keep adding a lot of best practice and a lot of, we believe in groups and things like that. So that's kind of how we landed with the Balanced Psychology Clinic assessment team, multidiscipline team. Our vision, our goal is to grow in a way that's going to be serving the person, client-centered person with FASD, their caregivers, their workers, the people in the schools like Monette, who works every single day with the kids, with the students, with their teachers. So we wanted to keep a community connection to everyone. So that's what we've been growing, I think, last, and it's been a 3-year project. So we're really, really happy to be where we're at and to be expanding groups and to like be offering self-care to caregivers. So that's where we're going, and we're connecting with community and like the best competent people around.
That's what it takes. We're stronger when we're together. I'm so pleased you started in psychology. You built this multidisciplinary team. You're reaching out with the community. So rather than staying siloed, which so often happens, you're branching out and building community connections and community relationships. And then within your clinic itself, you have a multidisciplinary team and do provide those comprehensive FASD assessments. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. As one mom to another, thank you for doing that. Canada has a great deal of FASD clinics comparatively to other countries. We still don't have enough. And because our population is so spread out, we need mm-hmm. many clinics to be able to serve people. So it's wonderful that Balanced Psychology Clinic has come on board and can now facilitate those multidisciplinary assessments. But then you don't stop there. Here's your assessment. Here's your paperwork. Oh. Goodbye. Good luck. No.
That was our goal. So me and Sebastian, and like when I was part of like that whole discussion, was okay, like there's schools, there's home, there's like community. So then what?
Yes.
Then what? So then that's where we came in and we're like, okay, we need to keep running these groups, the groups, the ACT, the parents, the caregivers. So that's where we reconnected and we're like, okay, let's do this. But how, like when it's a mom of like 2 kids, how do we do it so that parents can access it?
Right. Monette, tell us about it.
It's busy. Like, even like as a parent in general, it's like, you know, sports or activities or medical appointments or, you know, like it's real. And I believe when you mentioned, Robbie, the points that are standing out to me right now even more is that if you have it accessible and you're helping, it's almost like you're empowering the person that needs the support to have that online, and then they can be in their environment. And I also like the point where you mentioned something comes up, if like emotions come up. It might happen more when you're in your house than if you're in, you know, like a setting that might have less of distraction. So I think that's beautiful, because then we can support each other. We can, you know, like we can address that as a group with the process. It's just a beautiful blend of approaches. I was very impressed, and I'm so curious and passionate about like the body sensory approach. Like it's a blend of like the whole person. I that's how I feel.
Just like you said, as moms, so often we're way too busy to be aware of our own body.
Exactly. And even like myself, having done the yoga teacher training during one of my pregnancies, it was a tool. It served me for my own benefits. Even when I was younger, I was in a pretty significant car accident where I had surgery, and I needed to find resources because I wanted to be able to, you know, to appreciate it and to enjoy a quality of life. So yoga and massage therapy, yoga especially, because I'm able to, you know, like address it myself, but I know I need to build the discipline, and I just want to share that it's accessible to people. And you can call it yoga, you can call it movement, you can call it stretches. I think the important part here is moving the body and having that cohesion and the group. And I think that's the beautiful part in here is the movement and the act. That's it's just amazing.
Okay, perfect segue. I want to hear about ACT. So tell me what it is. Teach me what it is. What's going on?
So the Center of ACT Therapy is psychological flexibility.
Flexibility.
So yes. I'll tell you. I kept scratching my head and thinking, how do I came from the very traditional CBT background. So you go to university, you do your master's, you become a psychologist, you do CBT. Challenge your thoughts, change your thoughts, you'll be okay. We never talked about the body. We never talked about our breathing. It was all about challenge your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I could never figure out why there was such a disconnect between mindfulness and thoughts. And then I had a beautiful person in Fredericton who works with trauma, who works with first responders, who told me, Melissa, go check out ACT therapy. I'm like, okay, what is that? And I went into Russ Harris' book and I was like, oh, that's what I was looking for. It makes sense. They finally mixed it together. So like, okay. So now the thoughts we observe, and now we can still be in our body. So like everything kind of like mixes up together. Like I was like, oh, wow. It makes sense. Like I got it. It really, really was empowering to know there was an approach that would really call upon like the mind-body connection, but also had like a structure to it, right? So with ACT therapy, there's different components to it. They call it the exaflex, right? From Russ Harris. So you can talk about some of that, Manette. I think you're very, like, to me, the self as context is extremely important. I talk a lot with my clients about my story about when I was pregnant and my daughter, I did my ECCC. So that's the big test to be a psychologist, to get your license, you know, to get that certificate on the wall with the title.
Yes. So you're the professional.
You know, get the title, get the certificate. Okay, fine. Did the test. Got the title. It didn't change anything. That was so impactful to me. I was like, well, okay, they mailed it to me. I passed the test. I'm a psychologist now, but I'm not different. So in ACT therapy, they really strive to explain to you that you're your own self behind your eyes and no one knows. So your self as context is who you are. So it really impacted me that license would not change what I would do every day. That I would get up every single day as a psychologist, as a mom, as a friend, as a partner, and I would still be the same person moving towards the same values. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I want to learn more about values. So once I like got to know what ACT was, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's why that certificate or that license didn't like lock it in for me. It wasn't the end goal. Like, I'm here, I'm living, I'm present. I still want to do everything every day in each moment. That's kind of where it just lit up for me.
And if I'm going to add, I remember, so previously to discovering the ACT therapy, I had a lot of training and personal practice and experience with mindfulness. And as I became a parent, that was challenged because, you know, like it's fine when, you know, you've got this one body, but then all of a sudden everything changes.
And there's more bodies.
There are many more bodies. I have 5 extra bodies. I know.
There's a lot to handle. And there's a so I realized that, oh my goodness, I had to rediscover that it's a discipline. It's something that I was choosing. And then there was some moments of insatisfaction. And I thought, okay, what's happening here? Like, why isn't it giving me the same satisfaction? So what I did notice is that I probably wasn't giving myself enough self-care, because I think as parents, moms or dads, I believe that that's something that is so important. And I remember we were talking about it getting ready, and I was like, okay, no wonder the dissatisfaction, because I don't think I had identified my values clearly enough. So the actions I was taking, I don't believe they were towards my core values. So once that became clear, I was like, okay, it seems so simple, but then the part where you do the action, that's where you get into the work. But then I was able to, you know, is this something that's going to help me towards where I'm going? And then here we are, we're just still discovering.
Yeah, being curious. So if you can imagine like doing like a line across from top to bottom and left to right, and you do a circle in the middle and you identify the middle is me here in the present moment. The line that goes to the right would be moving towards your values. The line that goes towards the left would be moving away from your values. So in our lives, we have tendencies from our upbringing. Everyone does. And in all our relationship, everything. So moving away from your values will pull you towards your hooks, your tendencies. It pulls you towards your trauma, your memories, your hooks, your avoidance, your need for control. And that is not being in a present moment. And then when you look at the ACT life map, moving towards the right means moving towards what's important to me. What's important to me? What's my true values? Not what my culture tells me, not what my peers, my friends tell me, but truly me. What are my values? And that's a lot of hard work in ACT therapy that is not, you know, reprocessing, triggering trauma. It is really, truly figuring out the process of I'm moving towards that value, and I'm choosing in this moment to get up and make breakfast because I identified that like eating healthy was important. Yesterday, I didn't do it. You know what? Yesterday is yesterday. I'm here and now. So I'm going to choose today to move towards that value of eating breakfast. And so working with clients for me that have complex trauma and, you know, Robbie, secondary trauma from, you know, working and living with children that have high, complex mental health needs is secondary trauma. So when do you find time to move towards your values? Often parents will tell me, well, I go hide in the washroom. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had that. How many times have you had that story, right?
Yep.
I go, I lock the door and I stay there a little longer.
That starts when they're about 2 or 3 years old, right? You got those little toes sticking under the door.
Oh yeah. Or they pour a glass of water. That's very masterful. a glass of water under the door.
That's
a good one. That's a really good one. Or like a melted ice cube. I don't know. I've had so many stories.
I know.
So parents are looking and the caregivers are looking for ways to move towards their values, but we are lagging in time. So act mindfully is about being here in the moment. And even if it's a breath, it counts. You can't fail by being you. We can't fail by being, by accepting what's going on in the moment, being present, being mindful, taking your breath. You cannot fail act therapy. Like there's no pass or
what?
Fail.
You can't fail.
You can't always start over. Like the biggest message I got was like, you can't fail because you can always start over. I was like, what do you mean? Like this whole week, I didn't do my mindfulness. And I didn't do my yoga. And like, it was like, no.
So what? Carry on.
Again. Yes. And it's in this moment, I can choose right now, if whatever became before, right now I can choose towards what's important to me and start right away. And that was for me a way to let a lot of like guilt go, that, you know, like how that can quickly snowball. And I was like, this is refreshing. This is very empowering. And then you can just start over. And I remember something funny that came to me. There was this quote. It was like, don't believe everything you think. And I was like, okay. So it made me recognize that my thoughts and then the observer. So I'm like the person observing. And I was like, okay, we need to tell that to a lot of people, because I believe that for a long time, I might've been, I don't know, I might've been believing a lot of my, you know, the activity in there. And that made me stop and recognize and then noticing, okay. And then just starting again in this moment. And I think like you said, Melissa, like that is very empowering, and it's accessible. It's right there right now. I can choose to take a deep breath and then what can I choose next?
Mm-hmm. And thoughts are behaviors. People don't know that.
We can have like 70,000 thoughts a day. They come and they go and they come and they go. They're not all behaviors. They come and they go. Oh, she's giving me a side eye, you guys. Okay. Well, they come and they go. But I guess we can choose how much energy we want to give to them. We can choose if we want to pay attention to them. That's what I'm saying. Just like Monette was saying, you don't have to believe every thought that comes through your mind, nor do you have to act on every thought that comes through your mind. And that's what in therapy I learned was to slow down. Yes. And to be curious. And for me, it's moods. I struggle with depression and I get low moods and stuff. I used to be very afraid that I was teetering on the edge of another great big depression. But she would say, what if you got curious about that? What about when that low mood comes, you just go, huh, there it is.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's about. Because otherwise, to me, it was a big dragon that was going to destroy my life. But instead, she's like, what if you can have contentment and sadness? What if you can have joy and sadness? What if both can exist at the same time? And when that mood comes, you're just curious. It was new thought to me. I'm like, what? I never thought about that before. And so now, years later, when that mood comes, sometimes it's a legit mood. Sometimes I go, you know what, Robbie, you're tired. You just need to go to bed and tomorrow's going to be a better day.
Yes. And it allows you to recognize your state. I really appreciate some of the things you just mentioned, because they were good reminders about like that, almost a fear of a state that you've experienced before. And just, you know, like having the coexisting of two states and just, you know, easing into that. It kind of brings me to like metaphors that are fun. And I found one that's like, it's the weather. So it's kind of like pertinent to our climate.
Today.
Yeah. Emotions are like the weather, and you're like the sky. The weather can never hurt the sky, because the sky's the background, and they pass and they just change.
Say that metaphor one more time. I need that.
Okay. So thoughts and emotions are like the weather, and you are like the sky. The weather can never hurt the sky.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's wonderful. I think that's something we can all hold on to. That's really good. The other thing I was going to say it came to my mind as we were talking, and that's that behavior is state dependent, isn't it? Oh, now another side eye. You guys are challenging my what I've learned. I love this.
Challenging beliefs, because beliefs are not even like truthful. Exactly. So who are you?
Exactly. So no.
Beliefs are beliefs, assumptions, thoughts are thoughts. And I don't know who you are beyond your eyes. I'm curious. Yeah. I would love to know. You are you with all of your context. That's self as context in ACT therapy. Mm. So no one can, it's like non-judgmental towards yourself. And for us as like mental health practitioners, non-judgmental towards you. I can't judge your beliefs. They're yours. You've been through your life. But they're also, in ACT therapy, they're behaviors. They're there, but we're mind-body. We're connected, and we're living in each moment. And we get to make a choice with our actions. No matter what's happening, you can move your arm. Like, we're grateful. We can move our arms, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we can have intentional movements of our bodies at all times, even if we're in a panic attack, even if there's chaos in the home, even if we're not sure how to problem solve something, our body will still breathe. Our body will still move. So why not use movement, and why not be curious about our body sensations and accept, acknowledge, observe? Because the thoughts are thoughts. And then we're still here.
Hey, so let's come back. I don't know that we've clearly defined what is ACT therapy. So let's do that. What is it exactly?
Acceptance and commitment therapy. So it's an exaflex. Russ Harris would be like one of my like really, really awesome person. So really what he talks about is that there's different sides of the exaflex that we work through in therapy and with ourselves to get psychological flexibility. So the first one is being in the present moment. Another one is experiential acceptance, which means like, you know, like going with the river, not against the river, being there with what's happening, not judgmental. Yeah. Cognitive diffusion was kind of probably stolen a little bit from CBT, I would say, in terms of, you know, cognitive distancing. Like, you know, when you name your thoughts and you're observing them, and in the eating disorder world, they call the eating disorders ED. So people can kind of get angry at ED.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So distancing yourself from thoughts and observing. And the other concept is self as context, which was being behind your eyes and no one knows what's there. Then the values is a huge one. People think you can go like printless values and like checkmark them. Hmm. That doesn't really, me and Manette has had tons of conversation on that. But like, you know, it's a bit more, you can get deeper than that. And then to me, what really spoke to me in this whole approach was always committed actions and starting over. So am I moving towards my values, or am I getting hooked by avoiding? So that's the whole approach. So it's not a step-by-step approach. Every time a client shows up in my session, we might be using cognitive diffusion. We might be using radical acceptance or breathing exercises to ground ourselves. But we're always going to talk about, is what you're doing today here and now moving you towards your values? And so it's not a problem-solving approach. It's a life journey. It's a life journey process.
And that's why there's no failure, because it's a process.
Right. And for the visual people, because I'm very visual, to me, when I see the
exaflex,
it's all interconnected. Like, they're individual parts that you work, but they all kind of like influence each other, and they all kind of interexist. And then you've got the psychological flexibility in the middle, because once you're able to like grasp some of these, explore, they kind of like psychological flexibility will shape by moving along the different components of the process.
It sounds intriguing. I'm looking up the hexaflex.
It's so awesome. The visual is really awesome. So it really, really shows people that it's doable. So one of the biggest thing that Russ Harris says is workable. So clients show up to our office and we go, okay, where are you at? What's workable?
So if a client comes to you and says, I'm really stressed out. I've got a child who's got this disability. They're struggling in school. They're struggling at home. I'm really stressed out. Let's say that's what they're going to say. I can't sleep. Your response is, feeling your body right now. Okay. So is that a bit of like somatic therapy too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious. So where do you feel it in your body? And when that happens,
describe the sensations. Yeah.
What's happening? What is hooking you from you being able to do something, an action that's going to help? Mm-hmm. And the action might not be that you solve it, you solve your stress, because it's not always solvable, but what would be workable? So we kind of try to defeat the solution focus approach where it's like A equals B and then like you solve it. It's more of a, we keep working at it.
Across whatever is happening and moment by moment by moment.
So each group that we did, me and Manette, we did what, three?
Yes.
So each group that we did with these like beautiful human being and the connection, the cohesion. Yeah, sorry. Every single time we saw different people having different insight, but also the connection with the other humans would get the other people to get different insight. Every person, and ups for me and Manette, why we wanted to do it again was, can we say it's a little bit selfish, but like in a really kind way?
Sure.
a kind selfish, like I heard like Russ Harris say that. A kind selfish where it's like every time we do our life map and we like take pulse of where are we learn.
Yeah, you grow too. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's more like we're growing together to being better humans. When I run a group, maybe for parents, or I'm running a group for people who have FASD, I value my time with them. We're equals around the circle. It's reciprocal. I hope I give you value and I hope I give you something that's beneficial to you, but they give me something that's beneficial too. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm becoming a better human too. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And it makes my practice as a mother even better.
Talking about the upward spiral. So we talk about downward spiral. Mm-hmm. So with our thoughts, we get caught. What if, what if, what if, what if? And we get caught in that like negative cycle. I call it the spiral down. But with ACT therapy, it's like you're spiraling up with that process. You keep going through the different spheres of the process and you keep going up and up and up. So it's just you flip it. It's like,
I think that's really helpful. Really helpful. The one thing that both Mona and Melissa kept talking about was values. And yeah, you might use a checklist initially to give you some thoughts, but that's really not going to be accurate probably to who you are. A number of years ago with a group of mothers, we were connected by one person in the group and she said, hey ladies, would you join me for a book study? It worked through a lot of things. You know, what we had to do in there is we had to write out a timeline of our lives. So that's a bit of a narrative therapy. We had to look at what are our values, really, really dig into your values. And so the exercise there was to list what your values are. Now, this next week, track how much time you actually spend on those values. Track where you actually do spend your time, and where you spend your time is where your values are. Okay. Or do you need to align that? And that was a very useful exercise. By the time we moved through that exercise of what are your values, the idea was to come up with your absolute yes list.
Yay.
Yes. And it's by that absolute yes list that now you've got this plumb line, or maybe in this case, you've got that right arrow and you know what your values are. And unless it lines up with that value, it's very easy to say no. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very, very helpful to me. I've loved holding on to that. What is my absolute yes? And then when other opportunities or crises or whatever comes my way, if it doesn't line up with that absolute yes, then it's a flat no. I don't have to waste any time or thought on it.
So as a parent with a teen with FASD, completely different lens now. Psychologist, now parent to a teen with FASD. The boundaries. My absolute yes and no. Getting hooked. And then making sure that my relationships are authentic and really truthful to what my values are, because it is hard to say no when you want to give everything to your kids. And when you know that they're neurodiverse and you want to give more and be the best you can. So boundaries, like, I really hear you. That's a really, really hard one. So a big reality check, landing in a blended family. And I'm a psychologist. I go in schools. I do trainings. I teach to people. I do the assessments. Oh, okay. Now I'm living with a teenager that has those neurodiverse needs. And I still have to follow through my actions. Hard. A lot of guilt. It's really, really hard.
Yeah. And that's when theory and real life come together. And sometimes theory doesn't fit real life very well. It really challenges it. But this is still where we need to know, though, what are our values? And if our values are clashing with what's happening in our home, then we sit back and maybe reanalyze what our values are. And if I think this was my value based on my beliefs before, based on my understanding before, well, now I have new context. Now I have new learning and new understanding. Maybe I shift my values.
What I love is that we can always do another value checklist. Like, that's what the life map is about in this course. So this course is about this. We're going to give you the tools to do a life map. Okay. And your life map, you have the knowledge now to check in with yourself. If you decide to do it every month, every year, it's fine. But you're going to have the knowledge to check in. Am I in the same place? And your life might have changed.
Maybe it usually does.
It does.
It always does.
You know, yeah, changes always.
Families are always changing and evolving. There's always different iterations. So where you were at last year is different than where you were at this year. In fact, sometimes things happen so suddenly that your family might be in a completely different context tomorrow. And so things have to shift. You know, there are emergencies come up, jobs close, new diagnosis has happened. There's an accident. There's a relapse into addiction. Anything can happen that changes your life from what it was today. Tomorrow could be radically different. You might not be able to do a life check-in in at that moment, but you're going to have to maybe at that point retune some of your values. You just have to put different energy elsewhere and be compassionate with yourself. We can't predict the future. We can't control it. All we can do is try to live in the present, you know, attune and adjust. That's what we do.
Yes. And I'm thinking, like, when I'm listening and I'm looking at the psychological flexibility, and I'm like, okay, so once when that happens and you start grasping it as we revisit it and we reusing it, I think that becomes the strength to be able to reassess all these in real day life quickly, and sometimes maybe automatically more because it's practiced. One of the parts where they talk about the movement part, the yoga part, it helps to train certain concepts. And then as you gather as a group, you debrief them. So then you get perspective. Oh, wow. This is really, I'm learning a lot.
We all learn from each other. The yoga is really nice to include into the ACT therapy because it really emphasizes the sensations and how they're going to come and go, and you are not like held hostage by them, and they always change.
And they have a message sometimes, sensations. They have a message. It's like, okay, what is it that I can, what is this saying
in this moment? So
very much so.
Talked about toxic positivity. And he talks about how, like, people say, and when you've been through a really, like, a bad accident, but like, oh, you must have, like, learned so much about that. Like, you must be so grateful for that, you know, gift of life of that suffering. And it's like, well, I didn't really want that. So sometimes we got to be careful with that pendulum of like toxic positivity. Like we don't want suffering. Come on, something yeah. we're wanting. But if it's happening, we need to acknowledge, accept, grow, let go. And that's really one of the basis of ACT therapy.
Beautiful. Let's talk about the sessions that you're starting. Registrations are open. What weeks are they starting? How do people get involved?
Yes, we will be doing a 3-week series.
Each Saturday morning from 10 to 12. So accessible, workable from 10 to noon in Atlantic time. And it's going to be, you can be an observer and you can join and like close the camera and you're like, and your mic, and that's totally fine.
Nice.
It's there to observe. And people that are going to participate with the chat, it's amazing. And then we share, we're starting next week. So you can email us at admin@balancedlink.ca. And we're super grateful that we get to do this again and give accessibility to caregiver and parents to spend a Saturday morning. And even if they have to kind of like leave for 20 minutes, it's okay. And then just come back.
Because there's no failing ACT therapy.
Failing. Exactly. We're good.
And then we're hoping to move along and do an 8-week session where we yeah. really get in and we spend more time. Mm-hmm. And I also want to like put this out there, like if some people are hesitating or wondering, like the experience online, I remember it was during the pandemic. It was a dance. I'm very interested in a lot of like somatic movements. So it was like a dance as medicine we were curious to what would happen if it was through an online experience. It was amazing.
Felt safe, right?
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes when you're in person, there's that essence. It was still there. The connection and that still, the cohesion can still happen in an online format. So we're able to hold space even when we're connecting through this tool that we now have. And I think we can, you know, take advantage of and just to educate and empower ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, during the pandemic, a lot of us had our therapy transition to online. I know I sure did. And we were all nervous about that. The therapists and the clients were all nervous about that. But I found that, you know, here we are, we're both sipping tea together. We can see that we're still making eye contact. It's not quite the same as in the same room, but if you are open to it, there's still a lot of connection that comes through and you feel like you're making really strong connections. Well, I'm going to put the links to the registration in the show notes today so that people can see the opportunity if they hear it to register with you. And of course, they don't have to be in Atlantic Canada, do they? They could be anywhere in the world.
That's what's so cool.
This is there. We could always see what we can do to accommodate different time zone. I mean, it could be an experience. It's possible.
We learn and we grow. I know I've been coaching a young woman who has FASD and I've been coaching her. She lives in South Africa and I'm in Canada. Well, you know what? It works because of technology. So anything is possible.
With you, I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
So glad that you told me about the diagnostic clinic that you guys have. That's so important to know because people are asking and looking all the time. So that's good. And I think this ACT therapy is going to be transformative for people. So well done, you both, for getting that training and bringing it to families and bringing it to families on Saturday mornings. They can still be in their PJs and do ACT therapy. Do you have questions or comments about this or other episodes of the FASD Family Life podcast? Email me at fasdfamilylife@gmail.com. Would you like to meet other parents raising kids with FASD? Join the FASD Family Life Community Support Group. We meet on the third Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So that is February 21st at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Our support group is a fun, lively place to connect with other parents who get it. We have group members from all around the world, and you can sign up today at fasdfamilylife.ca to be part of our next meeting. Well, thank you for spending your time with me. I know it's precious. And until next time, remember, the struggle is real and so is success. I'll speak with you soon.